This is The Hollywood Outsider, a weekly movie and TV podcast, which can be found at thehollywoodoutsider.com. We have a new episode every Tuesday now. This is our summer movie preview. This week, we're going to look at the summer's upcoming slate of films, what we're most excited about, what looks like a snooze fest, and what could be our favorite surprises. We're also going to discuss our listener picks for the most anticipated films of the summer. We've asked several times, got a whole bunch of responses. We have the listener pick top three. After the summer movie episode, Scott and I are going to review Age of Adeline, so stick around for that, but we will wait until the end so you get your summer movie fix. That's really what everybody's here for. My name is Aaron Peterson, and joining me today are my fellow hosts, Scotty Clark.
Are we still going to get outtakes, Aaron?
We'll find out. Be funny. I don't know what to tell you.
I'm going to apologize in advance if I bust out into song. I was watching The Little Mermaid before I hopped on, so.
That's okay.
I got songs stuck in my head. I just, you know. Poor unfortunate souls.
I hear dogs. That's what I hear.
Well, I made the dogs bark now. That's really bad.
Yeah, so I said some really bad singing.
That's okay. Brian Williams?
Hey, what's happening, ladies?
We tried to do this episode last week, and you apparently had some plumbing issues, and I don't mean with your junk.
Yeah, I know. For once, there's no phallic reference there. Yeah, what, 15, 20, 30 minutes into the show, my pipes literally burst. And
did you clean your pipes?
Well, I've got new pipes.
Oh.
So. Yeah. What does that cost you? What is that, like a big chunk of coin?
A little over $100, so it wasn't too bad.
Well, that's not bad. That's nothing. No. Oh, man, that's nothing. Hell, I'd pay more than that to mow my lawn. Before we get to our summer movie stuff, we do have an interview with Kevin Pollak that is on the website. Go to thehollywoodoutsider.com or look on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you're listening to us at. And there is an interview with actor, director Kevin Pollak talking about his movie Misery Loves Comedy. Also, last week, we managed to make a full episode with part of a live episode, and then Scott and I just riffing, I guess. We didn't even have a format. How'd you like that, Scott? Because you hate not being prepared.
It was weird, but I pulled a pretty good one-liner in there, if I remember correctly.
You did a couple. I was proud of you. It was almost like you should be doing this.
I was witty.
A little bit.
All right.
Your brain's like, let's not stretch it, man. Let's not overreach.
Hey, he didn't listen to it, and that's just me assuming.
You didn't listen to it, Brian, again?
You know what they say about assuming, Scott.
Did you listen to it?
So, what did you guys think about the upcoming slate of summer films?
Before we get to that, our Summer Movie League is started. Go to summermovieleague.com. God, Brian, you're like a horrible host. Just horrible. You don't even listen to your own show.
Hey, I listened to the Kevin Pollak interview, which is incredible. Great job.
That's what he's talking about.
No, I was talking about the live episode.
No, yeah. The live episode.
Last week.
Yeah, come on, Scott. If you're going to pile on, know where we're at.
The Summer Movie League. We started a movie league, which is basically like fantasy football, where you can play against all of us hoes, listeners, hosts alike, are all in here. And you basically pick 10 movies. Up to 10 movies, you cannot exceed a $100 million budget. And once you go to the website, it explains how to play. Find the league, The Hollywood Outsider, after you register. That's the league. And the password is Outsider2015. That's Outsider2015. And there's information on the website if you get confused. Now, Brian, back to your question. What do you guys think about the slate of upcoming films this summer? Are you excited about it? Is it better or worse than years past?
Well, my first reaction was good, but not as good as years past. And then I went back and I did a little research, much like Scott might do, or probably didn't do.
I did.
But I went back the last few years, and in 2012, I graded these movies as far as what my anticipation level was before the summer started. Not what my thoughts were after I saw the movie. But there were about four movies that I was really looking forward to. Next year, there was about six, then about eight. And I counted this year, 15. That is so.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was, I had, and honestly, about half of them are in the month of May. So, yeah, May is going to be an expensive and busy month for me, apparently.
It's funny you mention that because I feel that this summer has some of the most anticipated movies that I've wanted to see in summer for a long time, but it's every other month this summer. I feel like you said, May, holy cow, so many I want to see in May. And then you get, to June, and there's maybe one or two, or you know, it's like every other for me, it seems like. So
and August is like, what?
Yeah, exactly.
What happened? What is going on with August?
It's like good months and okay months. So,
but don't get me wrong. August is usually the tapering off of summer where things you're gonna get a little less of the exciting titles. But man, usually there's something where at least one movie where I'm like, oh, I can't wait. Mm-hmm. And this, we'll talk about it specifically, but I didn't have that reaction at all.
But I definitely had that for May.
Yeah, well, I mean, even if you take Avengers out of it, there's still a ton worth seeing. And I think June's actually pretty exciting too, but you and I disagree on that one. Mm. A lot of good stuff in June. I don't know why you hate that month. It's my birthday month.
Well, one of my most anticipated is in there, but I just overall, I did.
Yeah, like as a month, June just doesn't work for you, is really what you're saying.
Yeah, can we just get rid of it? I just want 11 months in a year.
Like, in a complete capacity, June is just not pulling the weight that it used to.
Right, exactly.
Get it out of there. It's really just a hindrance between Memorial Day and 4th of July. Well, I was thinking about this today. Is there anything about going to the movies that you guys miss? Like, maybe things that are different now than, 10 or 20 years ago?
The prices.
That's fair. Do you remember what the prices used to be?
I used to go to the Dollar Theater when a movie was 2 weeks old and literally play $1 to watch a movie that was 2 weeks old. It was awesome.
2 weeks old?
Two or 3 weeks old, yeah.
I think it was probably two more than that. It was probably it was a couple months, man.
Right.
Probably
right.
From 2 or 3
weeks. However long it was worth it.
From when you thought it came out. How much were snacks then? Do you remember? Like how much a bucket of popcorn was?
I don't remember. I hardly ever got popcorn at the theater. Oh. Not until it was like drilled into my brain to do it here.
It's like every week you're like, I feel guilty now if I don't buy popcorn.
Yeah, pretty much. Aaron's got hidden cameras at the theater. I get a text after I walk out of a theater. You didn't buy popcorn, damn it.
It's possible.
It's our mantra.
It is possible. What about you?
It's the right time. Buy popcorn.
What about you, Brian?
I wish, it's one of those things where I wish I could, I was young, that 12, 10, 12, 13, 14, mm-hmm. to enjoy these huge spectacles. Because, it's one of those things to where I watch it now and I may be blown away by the epicness of it. But it's a different thing when you're a kid and you're just soaking it in. Now it's almost like I'm a little bit critical of it. Okay, this is great, but gosh, that girl's acting was horrible. Mm-hmm. Or maybe you can, it's good and the special effects look good, but maybe there were some things where I could see where it was just too blatantly a fake background and it distracted me, or the story's weak, that mm-hmm. kind of stuff. So I almost feel like I'm almost a little too critical sometimes when I watch a movie. And I would love to see the slate of movies at probably, 14 or 15, old enough to really appreciate something a little bit more intense like Mad Max Fury Road, but maybe still young enough to be scared by something like Poltergeist. So.
Mm. The innocence, to get that innocence back.
Mm-hmm. That's a good way of summing it up.
I like that. I wish I would have thought of it. I was thinking about the trailers, and I thought of that because several of our listeners, especially Steve Peterson, he is the ultimate of trailer avoider guy.
He actually sticks his fingers in his ears and hums during trailers he doesn't want to watch.
Yeah, we saw that in the Facebook group. He said that he actually puts his... He said he doesn't care how ridiculous it is. He puts his fingers in his ears and closes his eyes because he doesn't want to be ruined by anything. And so I took that as a little challenge for myself. and went and looked up like a bunch of trailers from the 90s, 80s, 90s, and then of like last year or two. Man, the difference is phenomenal in how much they give you now versus then. Like then, you just got a couple of flashy shots and usually whoever the actor was, because it was real star-based back then. I mean, you know, whoever was in the movie was really the selling point for a lot of these. And now they give you everything. Like several of the movies, they just give you everything.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a huge difference from what it used to be. And it really, I mean, I applaud people that can avoid it. I've managed to avoid a lot of Avengers stuff, and it's hard. It is really hard.
Mm-hmm. I stayed away from the most recent Jurassic World trailer.
I'm actually surprised.
The first one was like, all right, I'm in. I mean, I was going to be in anyway, but mm-hmm. I don't need to see anymore. I want to go in and just enjoy it as it is. Unfortunately, as we go through May and all the movies that I'm planning on seeing in the theater, that's going to probably not happen.
Well, just stick straws in your ears and like close your eyes. You're done. Problem solved.
Yeah, it's
God. I'm not as
passionate.
Would hurt.
That's kind of why I want him to do it, Brian. Okay. And I really want to be with you when you do it. What's Scott doing? Shh. Let him play it out. Let's see what happens.
Why is he humming and rocking in his seat?
Why has he got chopsticks and why is he putting them in his ears?
I told him that's how they do it in China. All right.
Because they are winning.
They are winning. China is winning. We are looking at the upcoming films this summer. That's what this majority of this episode is, from May through August, because some people need a definition of what summer is. The way that the movie system is now, it's May through August. Really starts May 1st. We're not going to try and explain what every single movie is about. I mean, come on, guys. It would be like a six-hour show. But we don't want to sit there and just do geeky films or just do comic book films. We don't want to be like that show, because a lot of podcasts are doing that. We kind of want to try to cover everything. So there is a list, if you look in the show notes, a list of every movie we're going to talk about and the date that it comes out. Just go to the website or look in your show notes, and the information's there. And if there's a movie that we talk about and you want to know more about it, IMDb is your best friend. Just look it up. Now, keep in mind, summer dates can be switched at the last minute. It happens all the time. We even had, Pan switch right last week. So, I mean, they're always changing. Which I think some of you are really excited about that. And now it's technically not even going to come out. But Scott will talk about that. But we are going to tell you when each wide release is out, every single one of them, what we are most excited about, what could be our favorite surprises, and we're going to do this like 1 month at a time just to make it easier. So I'm going to start, and we're going to start with May. Now, feel free to chime in if you want to say anything about any of these movies, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Feel free.
All right.
So it isn't like I have to read them off and then... You know, feel free to jump in if there's something you want to point out or if nobody knows what it is and wants to ask a question, feel free. May 1st, Avengers Age of Ultron.
What's that about?
Well,
it's a love story.
It's a love story between Tony Stark and a robot.
It's a period piece, right?
Mm-hmm. Happens in 1946 France. May 8th is Hot Pursuit. There's going to be a lot of jiggling in that one. May 15th is Mad Max Fury Road and Pitch Perfect 2.
Man, it's going to be another two for weekend for me.
You're actually going to see two movies in a weekend.
Yeah, I did this weekend.
I know, and we're still kind of impressed about that. May 22nd, Poltergeist, the remake of Poltergeist, and Tomorrowland. That's that movie I really don't know much about, but I'm dying for. And May 29th is Aloha and San Andreas. That's The Rock, where The Rock literally takes on an earthquake.
That is not a Grand Theft Auto movie.
That is not a Grand Theft Auto.
He just sits on the beach and pushes it back together, and then beats it into submission where it actually rejoins, and it's just it's stronger than it was for the last 4,000 years.
Is he the new Chuck Norris?
Oh yeah.
Spoiler alert. Sorry.
He is called The Rock.
That's true.
See,
maybe he lodges himself in there and stops it from cracking any further. I don't know how this works.
Or maybe he was a chip off of The Rock. You know.
Wow, Scott.
Yeah.
You were doing so well.
Scott.
You were doing so well. We were so proud of you for a while. What are you most looking forward to, Scott? What are you most looking forward to in May?
Mad Max.
Even more than Avengers.
Oh, way more than Avengers. We talked about that before. It's my most anticipated movie the entire summer. Mad Max is, that trailer does not get old to me. I've seen it in the theater so many times. It's in front of almost every movie I've seen, and it just gets cooler and cooler and cooler to me. I cannot wait to see it in high def, IMAX, 3D. I can't wait.
Did you see the original?
I did finally, actually.
Mel Gibson?
Only the first one. I didn't watch the two that followed it.
Mm-hmm.
Not what I was expecting at all. It was more like just a revenge tale.
What were you expecting?
I was expecting a little bit closer to something like the new one is. Desolate desert. It felt like it was more like just a rundown town.
Then you need to watch the second one.
That's what I keep hearing. So.
Because basically what it looks like is they've kind of done, which apparently is, it's kind of like it's one of these trends apparently that we see popping up where it's a reboot, but they mix, I guess, the best points of the first one and the second one and just make one movie.
Okay.
Kind of like, it looks like what Terminator is doing.
Mm-hmm.
Cause it looks like that's kind of what they're doing with this one. It looks like it's kind of like the best parts of Road Warrior and the best parts of Mad Max and just kind of making one movie. And then just kind of going from there. So, if you liked Mad Max, you'll really like Road Warrior, especially if this is what, what we've got going on with Fury Road is what appeals to you. You know, it'll be kind of good for you to see the other. So.
Well, and I think the reason I didn't go to the second one is because the first one was really kind of dull. To be honest with you, it wasn't. Not a whole lot of action.
It really is. I think you'll get a lot of film historians that'll debate that up and down, but it really, the Road Warrior is much better, in my opinion. Much better. And I like
it. Yeah, it's more cinematic.
It is. And I like Thunderdome because I like Tina Turner. We don't need another hero.
Now, was Mel Gibson in that one too?
Well, yeah, he was Mad Max.
And I didn't know if he did through all three of them or not. I didn't know.
Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome.
Mm-hmm. They should have just called it Mel Gibson. Check out my hair. What do you think he's going to do a cameo in this?
I hope not.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I would love for him to, after the credits.
Maybe something like that, I guess, would be interesting. Maybe he's the crazy guy in Road Warrior. Was it Road Warrior? Thunderdome. They had the plane with the little. He had the little kid with him. He had like the. Oh gosh, he was like a pilot.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about? He's a really weird looking guy, and he's been in a few movies, but maybe something crazy and offbeat like that guy.
Michael Berryman.
I don't know what his name is.
That may be him. I don't know. My brother probably knows. He knows every weird, wacky actor that worked ever.
But he's got a really distinct face and big bulging eyes and big teeth, and
Berryman. I think is his name, but I'm probably wrong, most likely.
Yeah.
What other ones are you excited about, Scott?
Obviously Avengers. I'm really excited to see Poltergeist. Believe it or not, that trailer is working for me. I mean, you guys know I'm a Sam Rockwell fan. I think it looks creepy.
The clown jumps at him. I don't get it. I liked it better when the clown was just there. Just scary looking.
That was kind of, I did like that aspect of it in the original, but I don't know.
Yeah, because the clown, it built that anticipation up. Mm-hmm. What's it going to do? What's it going to do? And it's just sitting there staring at you, and you're like, okay, this is a long shot on this clown. What's it going to do? And
then it did something in this one. It didn't do anything there, but.
Didn't it wrap him up in the first one?
Yeah, but I mean, the way that they played it out, I didn't know that going in. And this trailer shows you everything. And that bummed me out.
And that goes back to your point earlier about, comparing the trailers from years ago to today, where it's a fine line that they've got to walk, where it's moments like that you want to see in the movie. And it works like, oh, wow, that's scary. I got to see that. But then they reveal all the scary stuff and it doesn't work.
Mm-hmm. Because you already know it.
There's no surprises.
I like to be surprised.
I hate it.
And Pitch Perfect 2, you said you're going to see that one opening weekend. Why that one? Obviously, because you love it.
I did. I love the first one. And it's I'm not going to wait for a video for that. I saw the last one in the theater. Loved it. I've watched it multiple times, listened to the soundtrack countless times. My kind of movie.
What about you, Brian? What are you most excited about of all those movies?
Yeah, I've got to agree with Scott. It's Mad Max, Fury Road.
For even you, more, it's over Avengers?
Yeah, even more than Avengers. I mean, because I know what to expect with Avengers. And Mad Max has got some of the freakiest, badass-looking characters of any movie in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
With the intensity, the crazy, like, pole vaulting guys on cars going 100 miles an hour into a sandstorm. God dang, man. Give me that.
God dang, man. What other ones are you excited about? Same as Scott, or do you have anything else that you...
I could be Scott's date just about, apparently, for every movie in May.
Woohoo!
I am really looking forward to Tomorrowland, because it appears to be such a... something different, something original, beautiful, mm-hmm. and it's got the Clooney, so...
Yeah, I feel like I haven't had a movie that made me this curious in a long time.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, the marketing on that has been quality in that it's not giving away too much information, and I like that.
Right, just enough to get you, like, to give you an idea of what it's about, but still holding back a lot of it mm-hmm. so that it keeps up your curiosity, and that is the key to a great trailer.
Mm-hmm. I mean, really, all I know is that there's this magical kingdom that, is it like a coin? Yeah, with a coin in her hand, this girl can reach it, and she needs George Clooney to help her find it or something. And she's the key to something, but we don't really know what. That's all I know.
Well, this futuristic, really smart place is, I guess, is going to end, and Clooney is... watching this clock that's going down.
I don't want to know. I don't want to know anymore.
But that's what they say in the trailer. So it's not like I know this from research or anything like that. This is what they reveal in the trailer. So,
okay.
And of course, she's the only girl that can help them and blah, 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 whatever. But San Andreas, I'm way more pumped for that than I ever thought I would be.
Me too. Holy cow.
I mean, that's like a, who is it? Roland Emmerich that does all the disaster movies.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. He does.
You know, it's like that, but, you know, a good action movie.
So, well, let's not go so far as to say good at this point. We haven't seen it yet.
Well, potentially a good action movie.
It looks pretty. It looks prettier than I expected it to.
Carlo Gugino looks pretty. God bless America for still having her in movies. That's all I got to say.
Amen.
I love her. Yeah. My most anticipated is Tomorrowland. Over Avengers, over Mad Max, over all of them. Brad Bird is a wonderful director, and the visual style, it just screams old-fashioned, I guess, and with a mix of modern. So I'm really curious about the palette that he's using, that he's painting his film with. And Clooney, love Clooney. The story is something I haven't seen before, or at least it doesn't feel like I have to this point.
Mm-hmm.
So that's easily the one I'm most looking forward to. And Aloha. I really think Aloha looks great. It looks like
really?
Yeah, man. It looks like Top Gun and a romance mixed. Like Emma Watson's going to be lathered up playing volleyball at some point. This is going to be fantastic.
Oh, and gosh. Oh, man.
I cannot go wrong with Bradley Cooper, my friend. You cannot go wrong. I don't know, man.
That's actually under my...
Well, we'll get to your crap list. Which movie, which ones fall into your couldn't care less category? That category. Brian.
Well, it's funny you mentioned Aloha because I'm with Scott on this, and it's weird that I agree with Scott so often. I really couldn't care. I don't care who's in this movie, and it's loaded with people that I love, and I couldn't give two flips about it.
Every time I see this trailer, I feel like I don't have a clue what it's about. All I know is that one of them's an ex and one of them is his current, and we don't know which one he's supposed to end up with, and that's about all I know.
He's coming back to a naval station in Hawaii Rachel McAdams is his ex. Obviously, Emma Watson is the brash new person in his life in the military. And he's just torn between the two of them is what it looks like. There. And it's Cameron Crowe. Cameron Crowe did Jerry Maguire.
And for the record, it's Emma Stone, not Emma Watson. Emma Watson is Hermione.
Did I say I did say Emma Watson?
Yeah, like three times.
That would make the volleyball scene even better.
Extolia's dumbassedness.
Yeah. Now I'm kind of depressed about it, this movie. I really don't want to see it anymore.
Now all of a sudden, yeah, it don't look so good.
I don't think Emma Stone is nearly as attractive.
I don't want to go see a movie and feel sorry for a guy that has to decide which of the two beautiful women to be with. Right. That doesn't sound like
Rachel McAdams or some horse teeth girl with a smoker's voice. I don't know. I don't.
This is Emma Stone you're talking about, right? Not
yeah.
Emma.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Not Hermione.
Okay. All right. Just checking.
That actually wasn't on my not give a crap list, but I am not excited about that, but the one that I'm even less excited about is Hot Pursuit. That movie looks awful.
It does. Reese Witherspoon and Sofia Vergara, which should be great cuz they're both really talented. Believe it or not, I really believe it. Yeah. It's like a buddy cop, a female buddy cop thing, but it reminds me of, that Shelley Long and Bette Midler movie in the 80s.
Ooh.
That was a long time ago. I can't remember the name of it, but.
Well, you know Troy's going to be seeing it.
Why is Troy going to be? Oh, because he's a big fan of Reese Witherspoon?
Yeah, he loves anything with Reese Witherspoon, he's going to watch it.
Yeah, if you listen to the live show last week, Troy subbed, and he's got a real obsession with Reese Witherspoon. It's kind of creepy. That one's on my list too, man. That one and guess what else? San Andreas. That's why.
Really?
Fuck yes.
You would rather see Aloha than
yes, Aloha. By a mile. Ugh. By a country mile. Ugh. I don't need I guess what? The Rock wins. I figured it out. Boom. Movie's been solved.
All right. Mashup time. San Andreas. The earthquake happens. California slips off into the Pacific. The Rock jumps in the water. Paddles it over to Hawaii, makes it one giant state, and then he meets up with, you know, Bradley and Emma and everybody else, and they team up and fight some bad Japanese villain who comes over and
what the hell your movie just went all kinds of weird.
Yeah, and it would be better than anime. Aloha. And it will be way better than Aloha, I can promise.
Let me ask you, why do you think Aloha is going to be just because you're not sure what it is, or you just don't feel like a nice character romance in the middle of summer?
Look, you throw in a movie of this type. Look at the month of May. I mean, you've got Mad Max, you've got San Andreas, Avengers, you've got Poltergeist, you've got Tomorrowland, you've got sci-fi, action, horror. And you've got all this stuff that raises up your intensity levels. And then you got this one movie in the middle of all of it that drags you down in romantic.
Yeah, but at the
bliss,
same,
so to speak.
But at the same time, that's the only one on there. You know what I mean? So for someone that doesn't like the action and the sci-fi and the horror, this is going to be the only option they've got.
Exactly. Exactly. And there comes a point when, or you can see Hot Pursuit. There you go. There's an option. Right.
Hey, I mean, I hear you.
Could very well be a good film.
To enjoy the heights, you got to go down and dip down into the lows. I get it. Mm. I get it. But, hey, you've got Pitch Perfect, too. That's a good one to clean your palate with before you jump into movies like Poltergeist or Tomorrowland. So
I think it looks very sweet and funny, and Bradley Cooper doesn't let me down, man. He just doesn't let me down. I'm on board. And Hot Pursuit would actually be more interesting if it didn't look so generic. Mm-hmm. It just looked, I mean, I love those kind of buddy movies. And I think those two actresses are great. It just looks like a plot I've seen 1,000 times, and Midnight Run did it better. I hope I'm wrong. I hope it ends up being like a great movie, but it didn't seem like it from here. So what do you think could be the biggest surprise for May, for you? Movie you see coming out of nowhere being a huge hit or being a critical hit that isn't expected to be, something along those lines. Scott?
My guess is out of this list, Poltergeist, just because the fact that it's a horror movie that's not being released during Halloween, it's being released during summer, to me tells me that they've got a lot of faith behind this, and I think it's going to surprise people. I think a lot of people are going to check it out, even though it's not the normal season to go see a Halloween or a scary movie.
Okay. Brian, biggest surprise?
Biggest surprise, I think, is going to be San Andreas. I think it's on the surface, it looks like one of those typical hero versus fill-in-the-blanks disaster movie. But I think with the special effects, and because it's got The Rock, I think it's going to do way better, way more than expected.
I'm going with Aloha, especially because of you two sons of bitches. I think Aloha is going to be adorable, and I can't wait. Then what do you think is going to be the biggest flop? Either the worst financially or critically, however you perceive it.
Aloha.
Okay.
This is a very expensive movie. There's a lot of star power in this movie, and for me personally, that's the only thing that it really has going for it.
What do you hate Hawaii and love for, man? That's Hawaii and love.
But I don't buy it in the trailer. The trailer doesn't give me a whole lot of reason to see it. That's not an interesting story. There's no hook for me except for the acting power.
Where's the love? You've got an ex, and you've got somebody who's breaking his balls all the time, which, that's the one that he's going to end up with.
Well, yeah, because they're more fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, it's like a who's the guy with the rice Nicholas Sparks novel. You know what's going to happen just from the trailer. So why waste your $20 and just go see something else that's got lots of pretty explosions and cool things dying.
I'm going to waste my money, and I'll let you know how hopefully Osman is. What is your prediction, Brian, for the biggest flop?
Biggest flop, Poltergeist.
Because
all the scary bits are shown in the trailer.
That's true.
It's beyond, well, I've seen the first one, I know what to expect. I'm watching it going, okay, these are the high points from the first one. Here's the high points in this one. I honestly, as much as I want to see it, I don't need to see it. Mm-hmm. And it just, with all of this other action stuff going on, even movies like Pitch Perfect, I don't know if May is the right time for this type of quote unquote scary movie. And I love Rockwell, Jared Harris. The guy that he plays the role of
the midget lady.
Right. The midget lady.
Caroline.
If he better do that, I'm telling you right now, Scott, I don't care how much this movie seems awesome. If he doesn't come out and say Caroline, I'm walking out of the theater. Screw that movie. Yep.
So.
Okay. I'm actually.
What about you, man?
Same one. Poltergeist.
Really?
I think there's like two big horror movies that are coming out between May and June. One of them is going to flop. I firmly believe that, because I don't think the summer ever really has two really big horror hits. So Poltergeist is going to be the one I think is going to flop. I just don't think Memorial Day weekend people want to go out and get the crap scared out of them.
I agree. And plus, we've seen the trailers for so long. They just keep revealing
too much.
Too much.
Mm-hmm.
They do.
Nostalgia. You'll get some people that are like, I remember seeing it as a kid. I want my kids to see it, or I want to go see it with my family. But I don't know how much of that there is. I mean, there's a lot of nostalgia for that movie. I don't see the staticky TV as much as I would like. But how are they going to do it? Because the TV channel doesn't go to static anymore, so it isn't like anybody can fall asleep to it.
Anybody under the age of about 30, maybe. Maybe it's
they don't even know what it is.
They don't
you
know.
Ask a kid to put it on static now, but they couldn't even figure it out.
Yeah, like, where's the channel for that? I don't know that.
Most
one.
TVs just go black if there's not a signal.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to June, Brian. What's June? What do we got?
Oh man, all right. It's not quite as jam packed as May, but we do have June 5th. We've got opening up that weekend is Entourage, which is the movie that takes place after the TV show on HBO.
That nobody was asking for except Mark Wahlberg, apparently.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, we've got Spy with Jason Statham and Melissa McCarthy, where she apparently does a Melissa McCarthy type role. Insidious Chapter 3, if you're curious about that, see Insidious 1 and 2. Mm-hmm. Jurassic World, Me and Earl.
Hey,
and
this, this is a different date, man. Make sure you tell people what the date is.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I was just running down a list here.
Like,
but
June 5th, Jurassic World did not come out, Brian, you freaking liar.
I know. And our good listeners would call me out on it, so thank you for saving that.
Rightfully so.
So the next weekend, June 12th, we've got Jurassic World, and we've got Me and Earl and the Dying Girl, which is kind of a buddy, low-budget
love story. It actually looks really sweet. You should find the trailer for that one, definitely.
Yeah, but it's a different kind of.
It is.
It's a different twist, and it looks real interesting. I believe one of our listeners pointed that out to us. Thank you for that. Mm-hmm. June 19th, we've got Inside Out,
Pixar.
Cartoon movie. There you go. Pixar.
A little cartoon movie by the most popular animation studio in the world.
Yeah, well, it doesn't look good.
But it's like an indie film.
All right. Next, we got Dope, which is kind of a coming-of-age type of movie. A little comedy.
Something. I was surprised at how entertaining that trailer was. I really want to see that one.
I do, too. I was kind of blown away by it. In June 26th, the next week, we've got Max, which is a dog movie.
That looks so good. So good.
Yeah, well.
It does. You shut up. It looks good. And that dog's...
Look, I am the biggest dog fan here, and I get scared every time I put in a dog movie because the dog dies.
Well, yeah, that's how we cry, Brian. Well,
yeah,
everybody but Scott. He doesn't cry when dogs die. But even Scott liked the trailer. Even he was like, I kind of want to see it. And he doesn't like animals in movies a whole lot.
It does look pretty good, actually.
See?
Oh. Well, alrighty then.
Sorry, continue.
Next, we got The Outskirts, Ted 2, and Bat Kid Begins, which is, that one's about the kid who, thanks to the children, what is it, Children's Miracle?
Make a Wish Foundation.
There you go. He became Batman for the day and took over basically the city of San Francisco came to a stop for this kid. Mm-hmm. And it is a fantastic story and kind of curious to see this. Don't know how big of a movie it will be, but I'm definitely curious about this.
I hope all the other thousands of children that no one cared about to send to this Batman scenario all get to see it at the same time and cry tears of pain.
Because that'll
never happened to them. Why didn't anybody love me enough to have a whole city rally around me and make me Batman for a day?
God forbid they've got good health. So, yeah, way to go, Satan.
Just saying.
Well, all right, Satan, I guess since, you know, which one are you most looking forward to?
I already said Max. Inside Out, I think, looks really clever. I know you don't, because it looks like a dumb cartoon, but if you really look at the story, it's basically, it's one child, and it's telling the story of the emotions of that child, and I just think there's some fun psychology, I think, that they're going to have based on what the trailer looked like. I think it looks very cute and smart, so I'm really hoping that's true, because I'd really hate for it to just be some stupid cartoon. And Jurassic World, that's definitely on my list, but I am really hesitant just because of some of the dialogue is a little flat in the trailers I've seen. Action looks great. Dinosaurs look great. Dialogue looks pretty flat, but I still really want to see it.
Yeah, it's my most anticipated as well. Jurassic World, you just say Jurassic and I'm there. I've been disappointed in the past.
Well, dude, turn on Syfy because they've got every Jurassic tarantula versus...
Well, I
Sharknadoes.
I was being very general with the word Jurassic. I mean, I saw Jurassic Park 3 and I was a little disappointed, but I feel like I won't be that disappointed. And just that, hearing that music, and there's something about that series and coming back to it and seeing it in the theater. It's just, it's awesome. I can't wait.
About you,
and Chris Pratt.
Oh, Chris Pratt. I'm sorry. Chris Pratt?
That's it. Chris Pratt. Enough said.
I see that. That's the one thing that kind of makes me hesitant about it, because
Thank
everybody
you.
else, everybody else in this in these trailers, seemed like they fit. He didn't seem like he fit. And then two, when he opened his mouth, I roll my eyes every time he says a line. And that's to your point, Aaron, as far as the dialogue, because the first time that we talked about this trailer, that was my issue with it was he's got these generic, just very static one-liners. And
like out of an 80s movie. That's
yeah,
what I picked.
Yeah,
I'm like, where's Bruce Willis?
Right. And I just, and so I've definitely got some concerns about it. I mean, but that negative bit aside, also that is one of my, that's one of the most ones I'm looking forward to in the month of June is Jurassic World. I love the franchise. Like Scott, you mentioned you start out with the word Jurassic and I'm reaching for my wallet. I'm just, here you go. And so it's, I'm curious to see where they're taking this universe.
Franchise. Yeah.
You know, doing rabbit ears here. Can't see it. But. Well, Scott, which one kind of falls into your one that you'd really, your category as far as you don't care about?
Entourage, just because I never got into the show and I can't say that I don't like it because I haven't seen it, but just from hearing what that show is about, I just don't have a whole lot of interest. And if I don't have interest in the show, I'm not going to go see the movie. So
why is this a movie? Really? I mean, the show wasn't, I mean, it was, I guess, one of HBO's somewhat bigger shows, but it wasn't like Sex and the City. It wasn't a huge hit. So I just don't understand that.
No, Sex and the City actually changed culture.
Yes, television, culture, the world, fashion, Entourage. Didn't even change Aquaman.
Right. You can still say names like Mr. Big and people know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, they do.
Entourage was a decent show. I mean, I watched every episode. I liked the show. When it ended, it ended. It ended good. It ended in a way where, all right, I got some closure. Yeah, you know, I could stand to watch a little bit more, but hey, it left me wanting more. And that's what you want with a show.
Mm-hmm.
I've got no interest in this movie at all.
So it didn't leave you wanting too much more.
No. I mean, it was that, oh gosh, you know, I could use just another bite, but now it's like somebody brought out, you know, you just had this big Mexican meal. You're full. You're like, oh, I could just use a little bit more. And then your mother-in-law says, oh, really? Okay. And whips up a whole other freaking dish of something that you might have wanted a bite of, but now that you've got to eat more because, well, she made it.
Is this an analogy because my wife's Hispanic? Because I feel like there's some racial profiling. Just a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Just checking. I felt like a little racism creeping in. That's okay.
No. Well, it started out just being a general thing, but then once I went with Mexican food, I kind of figured I'd just use you as an example.
I appreciate that.
So.
Oh, I appreciate that. Entourage, same movie for me. I could care less. Or could not care less. I'm sorry. God knows I want to word that correctly. Entourage is one movie that I just, if it made $8, I'd be shocked. I just don't know anybody that wants to see this. I'm sure somebody listening is like, that's my favorite series. I can't wait. And good for you. I'm glad they finally made a movie for you. I'm always happy for fans that get that. It's just not something I care about.
Well, glad we could all agree on that. What do you think is going to be the biggest surprise of June? Aaron?
Spy. Spy. That's when I did get to see it South By, so I guess, to be fair, I've got a little insight. A lot of people are writing it off as just another generic Melissa McCarthy movie. I've seen that everywhere. It's not. It's really good. It's a fun summer flick. I think it's going to, word of mouth is really going to take off on that one. So I think you're going to be surprised how well that plays once it starts playing.
I actually agree with you, except unless one thing happens, and that's if Bat Kid Begins gets a video on demand release the same time at the theater, I think that will be a huge surprise. I think people want to see that because that was a huge trending thing on Twitter. That was all it was on Good Morning America.
Yeah, but people couldn't follow step by step because, hey, you know, the rest of us have got jobs to go to.
What's so complicated about it? Bunch of people dressed up like Batman villains. Boom, there's your movie.
Yeah, but again, the scope of the size of this event mm-hmm. was
lots of people dressed up like Batman villains. There you go.
But a city, I mean, but you shut down the city of San Francisco.
That's true. Yep.
And I mean, you know, and you had, national news channels that were, you know, kind of covering it and all sorts of other things. Like I say, Twitter was just blowing up like crazy and celebrities were involved and it was huge. So
I should explain, because I know somebody's going to write in and say, Aaron, he's just hates on this. And he's the child.
Aaron hates kids.
Yeah.
Probably because he's got a couple, but
I do have a couple. I have a couple, and therefore I've seen other kids that were suffering and whatnot. And if it was like a bunch of kids, that's a little something. But it's like one kid. And for me, it's like I'm thinking of all the other kids that nothing good is happening for. And all that money could have went to brighten their day, I guess. So for me, I realize it's a great story for television. It's a great story for media. It'll probably be a good movie. But I feel about those kids that didn't get anything. Because you know what? They're sitting there looking at that feel-good story, not feeling very good. And that's who I'm sympathizing with. I hope people listening understand.
So this is a kid with a terminal disease who probably may not live for the next few years.
So the other kids with terminal disease, so we don't care about them? They're good?
Just say, no.
We don't need to brighten their day at
Foundation,
all?
This isn't the only kid the Make-A-Wish Foundation has.
It's the only one they spent this kind of money on. That's a huge sum of money.
Hey, once word got out, a lot of people were volunteering
that's
and stuff.
True.
So.
That is true.
Yeah, I don't think that they ever anticipated that to get that big when they did it.
Explaining where I'm coming from so people don't write me and tell me how hateful and how much I hate children. I love children. That's why it bothers me. So there. Move on.
Dream killer.
Yep.
Well, for me personally, the one that I think that could be the biggest surprise is Dope.
Mm.
I think it's
I hope so.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a – well, and –
it's like a coming-of-age movie is what I got, right?
Yeah, yeah. That it kind of takes place in the, I think, early 90s in Inglewood, California. And it's the type of movie that has done very well with movies like, the Seth Green.
Seth Green? Who the hell's that?
Seth
Rogen?
Where's the little short little redheaded guy?
Tyrion Lannister. Peter Dinklage. He's a short guy and everything. Peter Dinklage. Is that what you're
Seth
talking
Green,
about?
Seth Green, the short redheaded actor.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, it is Seth Green. You're right. From Buffy the Vampire Slayer. All right.
Well, and Jesus, many other things.
Robot Chicken.
There you go. Robot Chicken.
But yeah. And even like.
Shame on me. Man, I wasn't clicking. I'm sorry. Here, I was making fun of you.
But anyway, like I can't even think of these geeky movies where the guy turns out to be the hero by the end of the movie and everything, all these bad kind of crazy things happen to him in the course of a day, and this just kind of looks like that movie, but not with the traditional kind of middle class white kid spin. It's something different, and this movie looks refreshing. Looks like a good time. I actually laughed out loud a number of times during the trailer. So mm-hmm. I'm hoping this turns out to be a pretty big hit. What's going to be the biggest flop, guys? Scott?
I think Insidious 3. For pretty much the reciprocal reasons that I think Poltergeist is going to do well. I think a third horror movie in summer, you know, the third movie in the series of horror films releasing in the summer.
And doesn't even really have the same people that were in the first two.
Yeah, it's a right. prequel too. It's not even. It doesn't have Rose Byrne. So you lost me. I can tell you that right now.
Yeah, Insidious is one of those movies that I feel like people didn't love, but they keep making them. Like the reaction I get from people that I talk to about it is like it was okay.
Or
not like I need more of it. Or yeah, I haven't seen it.
Or I haven't seen it.
I'm with Scott, Insidious Chapter 3, mostly because my horror theory still holds, and basically I've got a 50-50 shot this way. So one of those two is going to be a flop.
Down.
I am doubling down. And if they both flop, boom, 2 for 2.
Going to split those aces?
Yep. What about you, Brian?
Gosh. For me, it's Ted 2.
I like how you hesitated. Like, we haven't had this format for like 2 weeks now.
No, I know. Like, well, I actually had about three different choices, and you guys didn't say any of them. So I actually had to make a decision on which one to use.
You think Ted 2 is going to be a flop? Really?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's going to be one of those movies that it'll have a decent first weekend, and then it's just going to kind of fall off from there. Mm-hmm. I think it's just one of those types of, as much as I laughed at the first one, I really don't care about the second one.
Yeah, I think that's so. That's a one note joke that mm-hmm. I don't think is going to land twice. Although the trailer is pretty funny.
There's some parts in the trailer that are pretty funny. The Sam Jackson thing, I think, is one of the funniest jokes I've heard in forever. Where he's like, oh, what is the joke? She's like, Sam Jackson, I don't know who Sam Jackson is. You ever seen any movie ever? He's a black guy. I think that's freaking hysterical.
He is in a lot of movies.
He is.
Oh, yeah.
What's this movie?
All right, what's this movie? Each week we play ours or a listener-suggested clip from a movie, and if you think you know what the clip is, you email us at feedback@thehollywoodoutsider.com. Next week we'll give you a proper host shout-out. Last week's answer was two weeks ago. It was my pick, and it was Iron Man 1. Yeah, I went for the throwback to Robert Downey Jr.'s original breakout performance. D.A. Cheney, Zach P., Inga Kolstad, Linton Bowers, Doug Clayton, Scott Calgaro, Shane Owens, Stephen White, Steve Peterson, Craig Schermerhorn, Marcus Shelton. Congratulations to all of you for getting it right. I really thought I'd stump more people than I...
Trip them up and say, make sure you get the right number of it. So they're all thinking, well, it's not the first one. It's got to be second or third.
I didn't even think you'd get that it was Iron Man because I cut out the part where he does all the Iron Man stuff. But apparently I didn't do it in time because I'm dumb. But nice job. All right, this is Scott's clip, so here is his clip. If you know what it is, email us at feedback@thehollywoodoutsider.com. Here's your clip.
Life is a cabaret. Oh, fuck me.
What were you just doing?
What? Nothing?
No. Don't tell me nothing. You were just singing a show tune.
You're crazy. I'd never do that.
You can't be suicidal if you're singing show tunes.
What? I am suicidal.
No, you're not even depressed.
Of course I'm depressed. Look at me. I'm very fucking depressed.
You fucking poser!
Hey man, I am not a fucking poser.
You're not even British.
I like how Scott tries not to swear on the show, so he uses a clip that swears by proxy.
It swears like 45 times in 30 seconds.
Exactly. We haven't dropped an F-bomb once in this episode yet. Scott's clip drops 8 of them.
To be fair, I picked it 2 weeks ago.
That makes it so much better.
I don't know.
What do you do? Round it out? Do you like?
How does that change the dynamic?
It averages out to 12 F-bombs per week.
All right, well, now we're into July. Scotty, what's coming out in July? Oh, I'm so excited.
Are you excited about July?
Not really, but go ahead.
Well, July 1st, we've got Terminator Genesis with the best spelling ever of Genesis.
How do you spell it, Scott? You're a teacher.
G-E-N-I-S-Y-S.
Why do they even... I realize it's supposed to be like Genesis Systems or something, but man, come on.
Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah.
But we've also got Magic Mike XXL also coming out the same day. So you're going to have a lot of dudes in one theater and a lot of ladies in the other.
I'm going to be in Magic Mike.
You're going to be in Magic Mike?
Not in the movie, but like in the theater. I gotta get ready for my Matthew McConaughey review. I got to redo that. So.
Oh, man.
Got to throw it back.
Oh, man. It's been a while since you've done one of those.
Oh, ladies. I've actually been asked that a few times the last couple of weeks. How come you haven't done any voices in a while? I'm like, well, gosh.
Because we listen to them. July 10th has three releases. Minions, that's that the animated, is that DreamWorks? That's DreamWorks, right? Despicable Me.
I think it's Universal. I think that one's Universal.
Is it Universal? I'm sorry.
I'm pretty sure. It's a spinoff and of Despicable Me.
Yeah. Me and Despicable Me 2 with the little yellow guys. It actually looks really funny. Mm-hmm. The Gallows, and that was a new one for me. Mm-hmm. And then Selfless, that's the one with Ryan Reynolds. Looks kind of interesting, actually.
Basically, at this point, unless it's Deadpool, if it has Ryan Reynolds, I'm kind of leery of it.
I don't know. I thought that looked kind of interesting.
It looks interesting, but if the more you look into it, it looks like it's going to be one of those sci-fi movies that goes nowhere. That you watch it and go, wow, it wants to be so much smarter than it really is.
Right. They should just go watch Ex Machina instead.
Mm-hmm. They should. Should they not? Wasn't it fantastic?
And then July 17th, we've got Ant-Man, which we've talked to at length, and Trainwreck, which is Amy Schumer and Bill Hader.
You love her.
I do. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. She's
got a fat face.
Yeah.
People are like, wow. Isn't she pretty? I'm like, not really. But she's really cool. I mean, I think she's funny, and I would definitely take her on a date. I just wouldn't look directly at her. Kind of like at a side light.
What'd you do, like look around her cheekbones or something?
I would try
to
get either a silhouette going or just a side profile. Would probably be
sit at one of those really long tables in like a, you know, some dude's rich house. Exactly. Her head doesn't look as big.
Bruce Wayne's table from the first Batman. Just sit way on the other end while I'm just sitting there eating my soup.
What's wrong with the world? I'm the one that thinks the chubby girl is attractive.
She's not chubby. It's just her face.
Her face is chubby.
Yeah, but everything else isn't.
I'm just saying,
for the record, Scott, I didn't say she had a fat face.
Yeah, I did.
Aaron did.
I did.
I'm just trying to make him look worse than he already
is. If that's possible.
It looks really funny, though, too. And I like Bill Hader a lot. I think he's funny.
He's really talented. I hope this movie is successful for him. Her, too. I think she's really funny, but he is so talented, and I feel like he never gets a fair shake. So.
He always plays like the one offbeat character or something. Like, not like he doesn't get a whole lot of starring roles.
That is his shtick. But yeah, he's really talented. Go find, there's some, I can't remember off the top of my head, but he's done some mild dramatic work and he's actually very multi-talented. So.
Also on July 7th.
Don't worry, Scott. You don't need to finish. No. Go ahead, Brian.
Sorry.
That's all right.
I was really going to say he's really like almost like a newer version of Jim Carrey, but. Mm-hmm. But like I say, he is a better actor. At least I think he's a better dramatic actor.
I do too.
But his comedic versatility is just about unparalleled at this point.
Continue, so, Scott.
That's about it.
We've also got Mr. Holmes on July 17th that I think Aaron is creaming his pants right now. Just mentioning the name.
I already got a towel just for when you said it. Yep.
July 24th. Originally, we were supposed to get Pan. But apparently it's getting moved to October, so we will not be seeing that one in July. Unfortunately, I was actually really looking forward to that one.
So was I. Hugh Jackman? You can never go wrong with Hugh Jackman. Ever.
Unless it's Chappie?
Crap, he wasn't Chappie. All right, you can.
Les Mis?
No, I think that did all right last time I checked.
Like, it did pretty well.
Yeah. Just because you don't like sadness and pain doesn't mean everybody else doesn't.
Also on July 24th, Paper Towns. That's the new movie that's written by the guy that did The Fault in Our Stars.
John Green.
Mm-hmm. And Pixels, which we talked about. And then lastly, Southpaw. So with Jake Gyllenhaal. Looks
boxing movie.
I can't decide. Can't decide if I like that one or not.
Hey, you know what happens in it? The same thing that happens in every boxing movie ever. That's why.
Either he wins or he loses.
Yep.
Well, this one's got a little bit more going with it, with the whole drama with his daughter.
Or he might die and Clint Eastwood pops up. I mean, I guess that's an option.
Spoiler alert. July 31st, The Gift. That is not the...
Sam Raimi movie?
It's not The Clairvoyant or whatever.
Which is really too bad because that's a great movie. They should re-release it.
But no, it's
Look
Jason
in
Damon.
The Blue Diamond.
Man, I remember that.
That was a great movie. Keanu Reeves actually acted well.
Yeah, and I actually went into that movie just for two reasons, but I actually wound up really liking it.
I know what. Yeah, I got it.
And Mission Impossible Rogue Nation also comes out on the 31st, along with Vacation, the remake of the original Vacation movie, which... You okay over there?
That was really funny, and I think it's great because maybe 10 people caught it. Sorry, go ahead.
So of these films, which are you most looking forward to, Brian, since Aaron has to compose himself?
I do. I really do.
Well, I'm an unabashed Tom Cruise guy, so I got to go with Mission Impossible.
Mm.
Rogue Nation.
He does run fantastic.
Nobody runs better than Tom Cruise.
And he's 60, isn't he?
He's 50. No,
he's 50. 50?
Scientology hasn't done that much good for him.
Right. No, I mean, again, he, you know, it's the crazy stunts. You've got Simon Pegg, and they're even bringing back Ving Rhames, which I don't know if that's quite a good thing, but.
You're damn right it's a good thing. Ving Rhames makes everything
I've
better.
I've always liked him, but the last almost 10 years that he's been working, he's not done anything of good quality. So
all he has to do is show up and go, hey, how you doing there, Ethan? I'm Ving. I really, everything sounds like Stallone, doesn't it? You get where I'm going. You got it.
Yeah. We get where you're going. So.
What about you, Aaron? What are you most excited for?
Mr. Holmes, man. Mr. Holmes. Ian McKellen as an aging Sherlock Holmes in a mystery that's not one of the Arthur Conan Doyle stories. Yes. It's my favorite character. Not just literary character, not just film character. My favorite character. And Ian McKellen is a fantastic actor. I've loved all the recent incarnations of Sherlock Holmes, except for Elementary. I'm not a big fan of that. So I can't wait. It's every time a Sherlock Holmes thing of any kind comes out, I am dying to see it.
For me, it's Ant-Man. I knew nothing about that property. I thought it was silly. And that last trailer, the first one was okay. But that last trailer they did sold me completely. I'm on board. I think it looks great.
Crickets. Wow. Crickets.
Nobody else is excited to see Ant-Man?
I'm not. No. And I love Paul Rudd, but I'm not.
I really want to see it because it is part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe and all, and I know it's, you know, a building block to something bigger. But, you know, with the Guardians of the Galaxy, I mean, even being a comic book guy, I really didn't know much about them. The marketing was perfect for that movie. And with this one, well, let's just say it's not perfect. So I don't really know what to expect with it. And I'm actually avoiding any more trailers because I kind of want to go in with this low level of expectations that I've got right now. Mm-hmm. And I'm with hoping that I'm blown away by it. So, I mean, it's still a few months away, so I'm sure I'll see more trailers, you know, more information between here and there. But it's just one of those things to where, you know, we had a pretty good fun ride with the trailers for Guardians at this point last year. We kind of had an idea. Now with Ant-Man, I'm not feeling as positive as I was back then.
Did you watch the second trailer or just the teaser?
I watched the original teaser and then the next one after that, and I haven't watched any more since.
That's okay.
And that may be it. Maybe that's it. If I watch this, whatever newest one is out there, then, you know, maybe that'll do it for me. But it's not any, from what I'm seeing, they're not doing anything different like they did with Guardians. You know, you throw in the old music and stuff and.
Mm-hmm. The songs.
Yeah. So it was something different and fresh, and I haven't seen much from Ant-Man in that fashion.
Hey, but you're excited, Scott, and that's what matters.
I am excited.
There you go.
Which one falls into your not giving a crap category? Aaron?
Ant-Man. Yep.
Wow.
Sorry. Ant-Man. And I have seen the latest trailer. There's a cool little stunt with the train, Thomas the Tank Engine or whatever, but that's really it. And I just am not, it's kind of like what Brian said. It's just, it's not giving me anything to where I feel like it isn't something I've seen in half the other Marvel movies that have come out, I guess. So I'm not giddy about it. I think absolutely because of their brand and their past history, if any studio has the opportunity to make maybe just mediocre marketing and still have a fantastic movie, it's Marvel. They have more than proven themselves to be a fantastic company that makes quality films, and they take charge of their properties. I do have concerns because the Edgar Wright thing where they kicked Edgar Wright out, supposedly his script was phenomenal. Edgar Wright is the guy that did Scott Pilgrim and Hot Fuzz and a lot of those movies. and he was the original director. They parted ways. They had creative differences, whatever. And they brought in another director and modified the script to be more Marvelized. And I would have rather have seen some whatever Edgar Wright was going to do, I guess. And I think that started the bad blood. And then I watched the trailers, and I just don't see anything fresh. So it's really the one I really don't care about.
Wow.
I'm sorry to poo-poo it. I didn't want to say
No. I just think it's funny that I'm rooting for the comic book movie for once.
That's true.
It is. It is. But it's just one of those things to where I just don't get that feeling, that excited feeling when I watch this trailer. And it's, you know, it's not because I really was never a big Ant-Man fan. It was just, okay, you've got an unlimited budget, you know, basically. Here's an open checkbook and you've got a decent cast. Let's go with it. And I'm just not feeling any kind of good stuff there.
I can tell you my students are excited about it. They're already talking about it.
Well, then we're wrong.
There you kidding. Go. Should have started with that. I would have changed my answer.
Kids trumped us. Damn it. I'm sure kids will be all over it. It seems like it'll probably be a fun family movie.
Well, I mean, you know, we grew up with Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. We haven't had a movie like that, I feel like, in a long time. This will be their Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, but with Marvel slapped on it.
Like I said, I think this is probably one that I could not care less about, but will probably be very good. I just am not excited about it right now. That's all.
Okay. What about predictions? Which one do you think is going to be the biggest surprise, Brian?
I'm going to go with Southpaw. I think it'll probably end up, maybe not monetarily speaking, but it may end up being one of those early maybe Oscar talk type movies, just because Jake Gyllenhaal's in it. It's, you know, kind of a serious subject matter. And he's got, I don't know, like a 45 pack or something. I don't know.
It is ridiculous how jacked he is. I mean, just jacked.
Yeah. Jack, I think they imported abs for him to add on to his abs that he's already got just ripped.
They just stuck a garden hose straight up his ass and just poof, there he is, man.
He's been working out with that dude from the Twilight movies.
I think he's been working out with The Rock. That's what I think.
Yeah.
He's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
I think Trainwreck is going to surprise us from box office standards. I think Amy Schumer is gaining some steam. Mm-hmm. Her new show, I can't remember what it's called. Is it Inside Amy Schumer?
How do you forget that?
Man, it's all the buzz on Twitter. Everybody's talking about it, like how the first episode
that
was.
That booty video is really funny.
Oh, she's so – I find her hilarious.
This is where my poop comes out.
So, yeah, I don't think that'll be a surprise in terms of quality, but I think that will make a lot more money than your typical comedy in the summer.
I agree. My prediction is Paper Towns. John Green is a phenomenally popular writer. Fault in Our Stars is one of those movies that I think a lot of people in movie podcasts and geeks, whatever, like kind of poo-pooed because, oh, it's a love story. It's about a cancer patient. Turned out to be a really good story, really good movie. I think he won a lot of clout with that. And the trailer for that looks really interesting and
it does.
Clever and cute and sweet. And I want to see it.
It's the same kid from Fault in Our Stars, too.
Mm-hmm. Looks really good. Really good.
What about you, Brian?
He already answered it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Yeah, I'll just answer again.
Jake Gyllenhaal. What?
Well, what about biggest flop? It's going to be the biggest flop, you think, Aaron?
Terminator Genesis.
Yeah, that was me, too. Brian?
Let's make it a sweep.
All right. Yep. I kind of assumed that we all have the same answer on that one.
I've avoided the new trailer. I've heard it spoils a lot of stuff. But I'm telling you, man, a lot of it has to do, as much as I like Arnold Schwarzenegger, his track record the last few years has not been great. And one name should really be important here, and that's Jai Courtney. He is like the cancer to cancer. I don't know. The guy is just, I mean, he is awful. He is to movie making what cancer is to movie making. He's a horrible, horrible actor, and he makes everything worse. So I can't stand him.
Yeah, he's pretty bad.
He's pretty. It's very pretty, though.
really the only reason I even want to see this is to see the new Sarah Connor. I think that was perfectly cast.
Khaleesi?
The actress's name is escaping me.
Amelia Clark.
Amelia Clark.
Thank you, Amelia Clark.
She's escaping you because all you can do is stare at her when she's naked on the show?
Not anymore.
I'm not naked anymore. I am now Amelia Clark, actor. It really bums Scott out, too.
No,
I will say
it's weird.
I don't think it's weird. I mean, she wants to be taken seriously. It's hard to do that when you're butt naked all the time. Although it worked fine for Kate Winslet. I do think the vacation movie is getting a lot of... It's been playing randomly. And it's been doing a few rounds on circuits and whatnot. And the response, the buzz of that movie is that it's absolutely hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
So keep it in mind. Keep an eye on it.
And apparently one of the biggest stars in that movie is Thor's hammer.
Yeah. Just saying. True story.
I wonder who will lift it. That'll be interesting. What's funny is I didn't hear many of us mention the Mission Impossible movie except for Brian. I mean, Scott, you're not.
Just a third of us.
Yeah, well, I said except for Brian. That's what I said. I really thought it would be on both of our.
So two of us would have been many of us?
All right, let's go to August. And by the way, that Selfless movie is directed by Tarsem Singh, who did Cell, Immortals, Mirror Mirror. This is not a good director. So keep that in mind.
Mirror Mirror. Is that the name of Thor's hammer?
Brian, tell us about August. What's coming out?
All right. Well, August 7th, the weekend of that, we've got Fantastic Four. We've got Masterminds and the Meryl Streep-led Ricky and the Flash. August 14th, we've got The Man from U.N.C.L.E., Straight Outta Compton, and Underdogs. We've got on August 21st, we've got Criminal, Me Before You, Sinister 2. And August 28th, we have Regression and Hitman, Agent 47.
I love Hitman. I don't think it'll be good, but I still love Hitman.
I do too. It's a fun movie. I'm curious about that one. But which one are you most looking forward to, though?
Straight Outta Compton. I'm a huge NWA fan. I grew up in that environment as well as with that music. So for me, that's huge. So I really want to see that story brought to life. It's really that simple.
Love it.
Cool.
Man from U.N.C.L.E. too. I'm gonna throw another one. I love that show, and I can't wait to see Henry Cavill and. Cavill? Did we agree? Is it Cavill or Cavill?
No, it's Cavill.
Okay. Henry Cavill. Okay.
That's actually my pick, The Man from U.N.C.L.E. It's Guy Ritchie film, correct?
Yes, it is.
The trailer just feels like a Guy Ritchie film. And it looks hilarious. It looks action-y. Action-y. I made up action-y. A word.
There does look to be a little bit of action in that action flick. Yeah.
I love his style. I'm not sure quite what to put how to put it in words, but I've watched the movie Snatch over and over and over again, and just consistently funny and witty to me. Mm-hmm. And that's what I feel like I'm going to get more of in this one. So,
oh, God, if Brad Pitt's character popped up in this, it would be the best movie I've ever made.
Like Dags?
You're a big fella, aren't you?
You look like a boxer.
What about you, Brian? What are you excited about?
This one surprised me.
Okay.
And it's probably my most overachieving like of the summer. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be Fantastic Four.
Ooh, do tell, because somebody's getting mad at you right now, some little nerd somewhere.
I'm about to get some, you know, hate mail. With the initial trailer, it was like a teaser should be. It gives you just a little bit. But with the last trailer or two, which however many it's been, you've seen a little bit more. You've seen what the basic idea of the movie. It's the same, I guess, high points of their origin, but it's done differently. Instead of being blasted by cosmic rays, and you know, it's like a kind of a time travel type thing or something like that, or dimensional travel or something. So it's made a little bit different. I'm still not a fan of Miles Teller. So I don't.
Thank you. Everybody gives me hate for not being a fan of his, and I'm tired of it.
Look, man, I'm back to back with you, guns blazing on this, because I don't quote unquote like him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the as far as his roles and how he does the roles, I guess
how he performs them.
Right. I just don't get what other people are loving about this guy, and I see a good actor. I just don't see a great actor.
Exactly. And the thing that bugs me about him is Whiplash. Great movie. Great movie. And J.K. Simmons makes that movie. People keep saying, oh, he does great in that movie. I'm like, I'm telling you, there are movies where other actors are so wonderful. They elevate the actors that they're with. They make them look better. You take Simmons out of that movie, he is just okay. I'm telling you. So much of his performance is based on the shots and how the direction and the story played out. It is not based on his wondrous performance. It's just, it's one of those.
If he is so great, why is every clip that you see of Whiplash, it's J.K. Simmons yelling at him or slapping him?
Because he deserves to be slapped. But you're right. That's exactly right. Yep.
Because J.K. Simmons is the star of that movie.
Phenomenal in that movie.
Absolutely. But that, you know, him aside, I like it enough. I don't care about, you know, the big drama that was when it was announced that Johnny Storm was going to be black. I don't care how that is possible.
His sister is white.
I don't even care at this point. I don't care if they're adopted, if they're not even related. I don't even care. It just looks good. I like the way the thing looks. I like the way they're going. Don't know if I'm sold on Dr. Doom yet, but
yeah, that looked pretty hokey.
Yeah.
Doom and I'm like,
So, but overall, I mean, as far as where my thoughts it might go were from the jump to where they are now, it's got to be the farthest distance traveled, more than any other, trailer. So, yep.
Okay.
Alrighty. Well, let's see here. Which one do you care least about there, Scott?
Oh, man, that trailer for Underdogs looks awful. Did you guys watch the trailer for that?
Yes. It looks very bad. Yeah, because
that's my pick, too.
Yeah. Oh, was it like Angels on the Foosball Table? it just looks – they're officially out of ideas for animated movies. It looks so terrible. Just dumb.
Just dumb.
And I know we get a lot of flack for hating on animated movies. I think the new Pixar movie looks really good. This just looks really stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Who wants to go see foosball characters come to life and help a guy win a soccer game?
Everyone. All of the world. Foosball. Half the people don't even know what foosball is. Like, what the hell is that?
Thank you. That was about so what I was going to say. It's just
so random. You could have it be Dryer Lint came to life. That'd be more understandable, relatable to most people. Freaking foosball. I'm going with Criminal. It's a Ryan Reynolds. I feel like I'm picking on Ryan Reynolds. I love the actor. It's just, unfortunately, he's not that great at picking roles the last few years. And you got a movie that's dumped in the end of August, and it's Ryan Reynolds starring, and it just doesn't look like it's going to be much. So, unfortunately, I'm sorry, Ryan. That's two for you.
Yeah, I mean, he does tend to make these movies that you almost don't even realize they're being made, and all of a sudden they pop up on Netflix.
Exactly. That's true. And he's a very capable, very good actor. Voices was really good. And, man, the poor guy. Get a new agent, but after Deadpool, because I'm really looking forward to that.
I've got to agree with you. I love Ryan Reynolds. I will watch him in just about everything. And I will watch Criminal at some point just for the fact that he's in it.
Mm-hmm.
But it'll be on, you know, on cable or Netflix or something like that. So it just, I just watched that trailer and I'm just going, okay. All right. Well, what's next?
Predictions.
Well, which one do you think you're going to be the biggest surprise there, Aaron?
Masterminds. I think it sounds like a lot of fun. It's like a heist-ish kind of movie, and I love those kind of movies. So fingers crossed, that one's going to be great.
That trailer made me laugh out loud a lot.
Didn't it look good?
It surprised me how good that, because I went into that expecting kind of like another buddy cop or buddy movie like we talked about earlier, and it was funny.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that looks really funny.
Looks good. Masterminds. Look for it.
And actually, it's based on a true story that happened not too long ago.
So it's Fantastic Four, ironically.
Oh, my gosh. I think Straight Outta Compton is going to be the biggest surprise. I know it's a popular movie, or maybe there's a certain amount of popularity to it, but I don't think – how do I put this? I don't know if the specific people involved with this are as popular as maybe we think it might be.
It relates directly to me, so I see it as being more prominent and relevant than it probably is. And I see what you're saying. I think it's going to surprise people because it's going to be a big hit in your mind.
It's going to do, connect with a lot of different people. I mean, I'm going to be curious about it because, I mean, I own a number of NWA tapes.
Tapes. I got some tapes. I taped it off the radio.
Yep.
Remember those kids?
Doing that?
Remember the radio?
Yep. From when I was my teenage years. So I've got that, a similar connection to it, but I don't know how many people much younger than me would actually, they might've heard a couple of the songs, but not really know, about Eazy-E and Dre and everybody else involved. So I think this is going to be a very good story. Mm-hmm. And it looks like quality wise, it's done well. And the fact that they're like their kids are in the movie.
Yeah. I think that's great, man. Absolutely awesome. Great. Yeah.
And they look good. I mean, they like look legit. I just really think this is just going to be one of those that does better than expected.
I actually agree 100%. That was my pick for biggest surprise. A big reason for me is I'm not a big fan of rap music, but I want to see this movie.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, I know you're not a big fan of rap music, but I'm surprised you really want to see it.
Well, I love origin story things involved in any kind of music. Normally I would avoid this, but just looks really interesting. And like you said, the guys is, I can never remember, and forgive me, I'm losing all street cred, any little bit that I had.
Didn't have any street cred ever.
Is it Ice?
Ice. If you say Ice T, I'm going to punch you in the face.
Okay, it is Ice Cube.
Yeah.
Is that his kid?
Yes, that's supposed to be his kid. I believe it is, yes.
Okay, because it that makes sense, because I was like, wow, they got a guy who looks just like him. It was impressive. So
it is impressive. Cube is a great rapper, too. I mean, Dre is a great producer. Cube is a great rapper. I mean, he has some prolific music that, well, the whole band does. I mean, everybody in that band except Eazy-E, because, well, you'll see in the movie. I don't want, spoiler alert. I don't want to ruin anything. What do we got left, Brian? We got.
All right. Well, what's the biggest flop for you guys? What's going to be the one that tanks the most?
Hitman.
Yeah, you're probably right.
It's a video game movie.
That's my pick, too.
God, I want to see it so bad, though. I love that game. That's one of the few games I love. And I like the Timothy Olyphant one. So, haters.
Yeah, but, and again, I haven't played through those. You're a much bigger fan of those games than I am. But I get the impression that those aren't action-heavy explosion games. It's a stealth game, right?
You get the impression. Didn't I give you, like, three of those games free to play?
Yeah, and I tried. Mm. I tried so hard.
God. Aren't those games like, aren't they like, on your computer right now where you can actually play them? That's how they are.
Yeah.
God, jackass.
Hit the load button.
I get yelled at for that during recording, so.
Fantastic Four is mine. Just because of the buzz. I actually hope it's a huge success to shut people up. But seriously, it's one of those movies where I don't mind, we come out here and we talk about what's in the trailer. We talk about what we hear every week. some things we like, some things we don't. We get flack for poo-pooing things. But you go on the internet, and it's just full-on arguments and angerments is what I like to call them, angerments. Because people are just yelling and screaming that everything's going to suck about whatever. Batman versus Superman, this movie, the Joker. I mean, God knows what. People are just hateful. Before a frame was even seen, they determined that this movie was a flop. Mm-hmm. And for me, I just, all I want is for it to be a huge success, because I think it would be nice for them to stick it straight up their ass. And I hope geeks even love it and they can't even admit it in public because of all the hate that they've thrown around about it. It serves them right. But it will probably
flop. I wish I could develop some sort of a program that would scan message boards, find the users, save their messages where it says, you know, they're hating on it. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, once it comes out and they love it and they're praising it, just, you know, blast them with it.
And then we get the Jay and Silent Bob their ass. That's the dream.
Exactly.
You are the ones who.
But Fantastic Four, I do think it'll probably flop. I don't know. And then maybe we'll stop trying to make Miles Teller happen.
I hope so.
What about you, Brian?
Yeah, for me, the biggest flop is Hitman.
Oh,
it's,
okay.
I just think it's a lot of the same reasons as Scott. I think the lead actor is not recognizable enough. I like him. He was the only thing really I liked the last little bit that I was watching Homeland on Showtime. Mm-hmm. He was my favorite character on there. I like him. I like the subject. I mean, the character, Agent 47 and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think it's one of those that people will embrace. No matter how good it is, I don't think they'll embrace it. Mm-hmm. And I think it'll be a lot of millions, quote unquote, wasted.
I totally agree with you.
But I'm going to go see it anyway, so I don't care.
I sure will too. I liked the last one, and I realized it wasn't even that good a movie, but I loved it. And Olga Kuryenko, oh my God.
Oh.
What? Well, let's sum it up, boys. What are your top three most anticipated movies of the summer, Scott? Top three.
Mad Max, I've talked at length already. Jurassic World and Avengers, Age of Ultron.
Those are your top three? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
My top three most anticipated is Tomorrowland. Really can't wait to see that. Number two is Mr. Holmes. And number three is Straight Outta Compton. I do want to see Avengers, though. It's just more like four or five. Brian?
I've got to go with number one, Avengers. Then a close second is Mad Max.
Whoa. You said in May, Mad Max was more anticipated than Avengers.
It's more anticipated. It's for out of all those. Uh-huh. Yes. It is more anticipated.
Prosecution rests.
But I really want to see Avengers, and I've wanted it for so long. Uh-huh. I've wanted it longer. Uh-huh. So.
Uh-huh. Okay. Bang. All right. As long
I wanted Avengers since like Avengers 1 was finished up.
That's cool, man. As long as you can sleep at night. What's number three?
That's like the movie that wins the Oscars for all of the categories but doesn't win Best Picture.
What, Avengers?
No, like he's saying that it's the best one of that month, but it's not the best one of the whole summer.
Yeah, I don't quite understand Brian's logic, but whatever. What's your third?
Matter. I do. That's all that counts.
What's number three?
It makes sense in my world, so shut up. So anyway, Avengers, Mad Max, and then Fantastic Four. Again, it was I really want to see what they're going to do with this, and I'm really curious as to what they do with this franchise. And I hope something outside, because Sony can't figure out what the hell they're doing with Spider-Man. They keep screwing him up.
Mm-hmm.
I hope somebody outside of Marvel/Disney can do something with a Marvel property. And I think it's, you know, somebody's got to be able to do something. And I hope they do something well with what is really a fairly difficult franchise. So I really want to see it.
What is your least anticipated movie of the summer, Scott?
Aloha.
Why do you hate Love in Hawaii? And Emma Watson /Stone.
To be fair, I might have to put that dumb foosball movie in there, but that's just one that I obviously was going to be interested in anyway. Aloha is a movie that I should be interested in, but for some reason I just can't. I've seen that trailer 3 or 4 times in front of others I saw in the theater, and just nothing about it trips my trigger. And I actually, unlike Brian, really like Emma Stone.
He sure does.
Ah, she's just overrated.
What about you? Oh, wait, it's me. Sorry. least anticipated is Ant-Man. I just really don't care. I'm hoping to change that as we get closer, but right now I just... People keep saying, man, did you see the new trailer for Ant-Man? It's great. No, I didn't really care for it. Why do you hate America? I just don't care, man. I really just don't care. Nothing personal. I love Paul Rudd. I love Marvel. I just don't... Yeah, I don't care.
You know, if Kurt Russell had played the...
I would be lining up right now. Right now.
And played the old guy in that one, you'd be, your most anticipated.
He could really just show up. He doesn't have to play anything. Just be
I
in
hope
the
he has a cameo in that.
Just walks by a coffee shop. That's all he does. He doesn't say a word. He just looks over at the camera and just keeps walking.
And I'm in the theater, and Brian's like, you paid $10 for this? I'm like, I hear he walks through. Like, yeah. I paid $10 to see, you know, Kurt Russell just walk by. Yeah.
If $10 were the full price of admission, I would pay 11 Kurt Russells.
He should be the face on all money. Oh. What about you, Brian?
Wow. You know, it's funny. As you know, I mentioned earlier as far as how many movies that I, you know, there's like 15 movies this year that I really want to see. There's like almost just as many that I don't want to see. And it's this weird, I've never been as bipolar about a season of movies as I have been this year. Because you've got like Entourage. There's just so many like movies like that I just have no interest at all in. Aloha. But probably the one the most, and even though I will probably still go see it, is Terminator.
Mm-hmm. I get that, yeah.
You know, and the trailer almost had me. It almost had me because, again, kind of like Mad Max, I'm looking at all, I'm going, God, there's a lot of scenes from T1 and T2 in this movie. And then I'm thinking throughout the trailer, I'm going, okay, well, all right, you mash these up and then you spin it. Then you kind of, wherever you're going, you're going a different direction, but you're going to be going, you know, somewhere other than where we have been. So, all right, this has got potential. And then you see Arnie jumping out of a helicopter, free falling with silver hair blowing in the wind. And I just say, fuck this. Sorry. I just can't deal with this. This reminds me of Kurt Russell surfing in the sewers in Los Angeles.
He still looked cool doing it. Just saying.
That was the best part of the movie. And the worst.
Yes,
but the
exactly.
Best part of the movie.
Best and the worst in one scene. Yep.
Like, this is so awesome, but my God, this is horrible.
It's so great. Why did anyone approve this? How did this get made? I don't understand. Oh, man. Yeah.
So Terminator Genesis. That's
okay, what's your prediction for the biggest hit of the summer? I'm going to take the easy one, Avengers 2, Age of Ultron. If you guys want to pick a secondary, because I assume everybody's going to just assume that Avengers 2 will be the biggest one. So what would be your backup for biggest hit?
Wow. I'll say Mad Max.
That's ballsy.
I really think the veracity of this movie is just going to, I think it's going to get people talking in it. And I think there's going to be enough there. I mean, Charlize Theron is in it. I mean, and it's not, and she's, you got a badass, strong woman in it. Oh, yeah. I just think this is just, that's going to be one of those movies that's going to do, I think, probably better than what expected. But if I'm, if I had to pick something other than Avengers, probably Mad Max.
Scotty?
I hope you're right. But I can't see Mad Max beating out Jurassic World, just for number one, the PG-13 rating over the R.
True, true.
You know, and it's got that name.
Is Mad Max going to be R though?
It is R, isn't it?
I don't know. I haven't looked, so I honestly don't know yet.
I'll
looks
check.
Like it should be.
Yep.
Mad Max Fury Road rated R.
Got it. All right. Well, good argument then, Scott. I'm gonna say Minions as a secondary. I think that's gonna be really huge. And family movie, Despicable Me, those movies are huge and everybody loves the Minions. I think that's gonna be a huge hit.
Hey man, harness the power of the kids.
Inside Out, I think, is gonna be huge too, by the way.
Because a movie like Mad Max or Avengers, people will buy a single ticket and go in there and watch it by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's watching Minions by themselves.
That's a good point.
Well,
they've got at least one other person. Well, except for Aaron. They've got at least one other person with them, if not like half a dozen kids.
Yep, so, that's true.
There's going to be a lot of tickets bought in bulk for that movie.
A lot of popcorn. That's right.
So very good call.
All right. Prediction for biggest surprise of the summer. Brian?
I'm going to go with Ant-Man.
Okay. That's your overall biggest surprise. You think it's going to shock everybody?
I think a lot of people kind of feel like we do.
Mm-hmm.
They're excited that or they want to see it. They're waiting for show me just I don't need much. Just show me something to where I can brag to my friends that I saw this and tell them that they need to go see it. And I'm hoping the movie shows us that. I hope it's more fun than we think it will be.
Mm-hmm.
And again, with Marvel's history, you just kind of got to have faith that it's going to be a fun movie. If not, like I said, it may not be a very good movie, but I think it, with Paul Rudd on board, I think there'll be a good amount of fun involved. So I think the word of mouth will spread pretty well. So.
Scott?
I'm still going to go with my original pick that I said earlier, which is Poltergeist. I still think that this movie's going to surprise us.
Well, you've actually said four movies because we've asked this. So this is like over the whole summer, this is going to be your biggest surprise?
Yeah, I think
so.
All right. I mean, I think they've got a lot of faith in it. It's got a, it's got some good actors and some. Like, I'm tired of the jump scares too, but I don't know. There's something about this trailer that creeps me out every time, even though I've seen it and know stuff's coming. I'm still creeped out by it, and I think a lot of people will react to it. At least that's what I hope.
I hope they have Jared Harris saying Carol Ann. That's all I'm asking. It's all I want.
Carol Ann.
Spy. I think. And what's funny is I've actually seen it, and I still get people telling me, no, it's just going to be another Melissa McCarthy movie. I'm like, no, I've actually seen it. It's not that. No, man, I've seen the trailer. It's going to be. Yeah, but I saw the movie, and I'm telling you, it's not that. But nobody believes me. So I really think that the people are going to be surprised. She's not the fumbling, overweight idiot that you're expecting, because that's what people keep saying that it is.
That's what she looks like on the movie poster.
I understand that.
They're not doing much to kind of change that perception.
She ends up being, she starts a little, there's a few of those jokes, but she's a really good spy. And she's better than Jason Statham as a spy. And he's like an idiot. It's just, it's a flip on cliches. I think people will be surprised. So I'm having hope that that's going to be the big surprise of the summer. What about for biggest flop? Scott,
I think I might be in like-mindedness with you guys on this one. Terminator.
Yep, that's mine. Jai Courtney for the win.
I don't even have as much of a problem with Jai Courtney as you do. You should have.
Oh, yeah.
The trailer just starts to look silly to me at some point. I don't know. I think they spent a lot of money on it and they're promoting the crap out of it, and it's not doing a whole lot for me.
I love when people – I was actually having a conversation with friends, movie buff friends. And I'm like, well, Arnold says it's the best Terminator ever. I'm like, they get paid to say that. You realize that, right? No actor's going to be like, man, this movie coming out that I got paid $20 million for? Awful. God awful. Don't see it. That's never going to happen.
Yeah.
What about you, Brian? Is that yours too?
I'm scared to say this, but it might be Mission Impossible.
Really? Why is that? Why do you think?
I think with the money involved in this movie, they usually do pretty well. Haven't these been usually like around in December, like around Christmas, give or take a week or two?
I think there've been a couple summer ones too. I think the last one was in December. Ghost Protocol was in December.
It's really more of a vibe than anything. I look at this trailer, and while the last 20 seconds of it with him, hanging onto an airplane as it's t- taken off is incredible. Mm-hmm. I don't know if the rest of the trailer really did much to really kind of gather up the desire in people to in the general public to see it. So I've got some hesitations on it. As much as I love the franchise, I love Tom Cruise, I love the rest of the cast, I love everything about it. I just don't know how it's going to do, especially with all the other movies that are really kind of similar to it. Mm-hmm. So we'll see.
I get what you're saying, man. Well, you want to hear what our listeners picked as their three most anticipated movies of the summer? You ready?
Sure. Yep.
Drum roll. After tallying them all up, here's your top three. Number three is Jurassic World. So you're happy, Scott.
Yay.
Number two is Mad Max. I'm not convinced that's going to do. I think that's going to be a very cultish movie. I hope I'm wrong. But and number one, Avengers 2, Age of Ultron, by a mile. Oh. Shocker. Oh. Big surprise.
So my three picks.
So what, you're saying you speak for the people?
I do. I speak for the people.
Well, why don't you continue speaking for the people and talk about Age of Adeline. Now that we're done with the summer movie portion, we have one or two more things before we wrap up, and one of them is to review Age of Adeline, which is the Blake Lively movie. Real quick, what is it about?
This is a love story, but it's got a little bit of a twist on it. The main character, Adeline Bowman, played by Blake Lively, at the age of 29, she suffers an incident where she is in a car wreck and the car gets struck by lightning, and all of a sudden she doesn't age for the rest of her life. So she just stays 29, even though she's over 100 years old.
Awesome problem to have.
It is kind of cool, but that's actually kind of touched on in the story. Like, is that, movies that always go into the, is it good to be immortal or not? It almost has that bit of a theme to this, and it's a blessing and a curse at the same time. So she's now 100 plus years old, has an age, and she's actually kind of running away from everything. She's constantly moving city to city because she's worried that she's going to be studied and she's never going to have a life. And so she's a bit of a nomad. But she winds up running into Ellis Jones, who's played by, and I hope I'm pronouncing this correctly, Michelle Holzman, mm-hmm. who we know more commonly as the new Dario on Game of Thrones.
The sub Dario, the replacement.
The sub Dario. Anyway, she meets him, and he pushes and pushes and pushes because he's fallen for her, and she finally succumbs. But she's constantly wrestling with this, well, do I tell him that I don't age, or do I tell him because I haven't told anybody? And drama ensues. But it's for me, I found it a really touching love story, and it had a unique twist in the third act that, to be perfectly honest, I didn't see coming at all. And I found it very entertaining, and I'll be honest, I teared up a little bit towards the end. So now, Aaron, I know you weren't as enraptured with the story as I was. What was your issues with it?
I had a couple problems. The narration had two problems because there is a narration throughout. One, I just think the orator wasn't very good.
I agree.
Yeah, but really the bigger problem was for a fairy tale, which I'm fine with fairy tales, but they were extremely specific, like oddly specific, like extremely detailed, minute detail specific. And it just was unnecessary for a fairy tale. I would have bought it more if you told me less and just let the action happen. And I think that was a big portion of part of my problem with it.
Especially at the end.
Yeah, it just sucked me out of it.
There's something that happens at the end that kind of ties everything up in a nice little bow. And there's no need to be explained to what just happened. And then the explanation came like five or 10 minutes after something happened. And I'm dancing in circles talking about this because I don't want to give away what happens, but I'm like, thanks for telling me. I kind of figured that out. I've seen movies before. I don't know.
That's exactly what I thought. I'm like, wow, are they really explaining how many gigawatts go into this lightning bolt or whatever? Oh, God.
Oh, I gotta tell you, because I went and saw this with a listener, actually. Hi, Vicky. And she brought her two kids. And if you guys know the Calgaro family, they've got two kids that need to be in Mensa, like, already. Mm-hmm. And the one daughter was upset about, she's like, oh, that That doesn't make any sense. That's, you know, there's no science in that. We're, get struck by lightning.
She's right. She's absolutely right. And that's exactly what I thought. I'm like, there's what you're saying is cool and it sounds really smart, but it's dumb and it doesn't make any sense.
Well, and I agree, but at the same time, this is one of those where
it's a fairy tale and you're supposed to
suspend disbelief. I mean, it's a modern day fairy tale, and that's why the coincidences and that kind of thing were okay for me too, because those kind of coincidences happen in fairy tale movies all the time, and
there
we just
is
roll with it.
Like a couple coincidences that are just redamdiculous, and I can't go into them because they are very spoilery. But one is basically a relationship spoiler, and once you see the movie, you'll understand it's so coincidental it'll make you a little nauseous. Somebody should address the fact that it's going to make you a little nauseous down the road. Mm-hmm. The ending, there's just a bunch of coincidences. None of them can I really explain because I really don't want to spoil it for anyone. Because it is one of those movies where if you can get past some of the story issues, I think it's a lovely film. Mm-hmm. It's just some of them I just could not get past. That's all.
Right.
And also she's got a blind friend, right? This bugs the shit out of me. 20 minutes into the movie, she has this blind friend, New Year's. She makes sure to go and visit her at New Year's. This is obviously an important person in her life. Blind, plays piano at this local bar for a New Year's Eve party. We never see her again. So the whole movie, I'm like, this poor girl is wandering around New York City, lost, blind as a bat, looking for Blake Lively because she bailed on her to go have love with Dario.
That was odd because she seemed like a really interesting character.
And like it was important to the story. It feels like she had a whole other subplot and they just said, nah, she's blind. Yeah. Screw it.
Because they started to hint at the idea that she didn't know that she looked young. She yep. just went by her voice and assumed that she was really old. So, that's kind of odd. But anyway, story things aside, I think where this movie really shined is in its performances, specifically with Blake Lively.
She was phenomenal. She's really phenomenal. And in a bad story, from my opinion, her acting was phenomenal, I thought.
I found her – I couldn't take my eyes off of her. And what's interesting is she obviously plays an elderly woman that hasn't aged, but yet you kind of see wisdom in the way she carries herself. She looks like a 100-year-old woman trapped in a young woman's body, and that's super impressive. Even if you didn't have the flashback scenes to compare it to when she actually was in her 20s and young and I don't want to say full of life because she's full of life and she's older too, but she just acts like a young person in their 20s. Mm-hmm. And then when you see her in modern day, you totally believe that she is that she's seasoned.
Absolutely.
And there's this really interesting dynamic too where you meet her daughter. And her daughter is played by obviously an older woman, and you totally feel that the older woman is the daughter. There's like this dynamic where it feels like a mom talking to the kid, even
though
one looks the other age, and it totally works for this. So
that's a sweet relationship, the mother and the daughter.
Right.
Yeah.
So let's just go straight into the verdict. We've talked about this one quite a bit. What's your final verdict on it, Aaron?
It's funny. This is and I told you this. This is one of the rare occasions where I think the plot gets in the way of a great movie. Mm-hmm. It's shot beautifully. The acting's pitch perfect. I thought Blake Lively and Harrison Ford were both great in this. It's just the story doesn't work for me. So I give it $5 out of 10.
Oh, wow. Five?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I liked it a lot better. I'm okay with the coincidence. I can't say that word today. I'm okay with those mishaps or whatever word I'm going to put in place.
That's right. Work around it.
You know, I figure if I can turn my brain off for a movie like Furious 7, I can turn my brain off for a movie like this and let those kind of things go. So I enjoyed it. The performances were outstanding. Like I said, I teared up. I thoroughly enjoyed this. If $10 were the full price of admission, I would give it $7.50.
And everybody, I encourage people to go see it. It is one, if you can get past it, I think you might enjoy it. Just let me know where that blind lady is because I'm really worried about her.
This could be a spinoff movie.
Yeah. Brian, is still there or did you fall asleep?
What?
Before we wrap up, or before we go to emails real quick, I got to ask this, okay? The last week, and bear with me a second. The last week, we've had outrage because Robert Downey Jr. walked out of an interview. Jeremy Renner and Chris Evans called Black Widow, a fictional character, by the way, a slut and a whore. A picture, and I'm sorry, I shouldn't laugh at that. Sluts and whores, they're acceptable to the human race. Picture the Joker was a big problem for people. People went ballistic over Native Americans walking out of an Adam Sandler movie. I'm not discounting anyone's concerns over these things, lack of concerns over these things, whatever, whichever stance you have. What I'm asking is this, can we just get back to discussing movies instead of, like, are we officially in this age where every single thing that somebody says or some group does not like deserves to suck up everything in my internet space? I'm just getting tired of all the angst, I guess. Do you know what I mean?
Well, I have been for a lot longer than you, so.
That's just exhausting. I mean, I've never seen so many stories about an actor walking out of an interview because he didn't want to answer questions that had nothing to do with the movie. Actors that are obviously joking about calling a character a slut or a whore. Was it inappropriate? Maybe, probably. I think they have a relationship you can't tell in a 3-minute interview. I mean, it's just a lot of things, and it sucks the fun out of why we love to talk about movies and why people come to the podcast to talk about movies and everything else. It's just dumb. Just everybody let it go.
I gotta ask too, because the movie that Adam Sandler is making obviously is not out yet.
Mm-hmm.
And I started watching a movie today, only about a third of the way through it. But I want to know if the people that are upset with that story about the Adam Sandler thing have seen A Million Ways to Die in the West.
Yeah, it's horribly offensive if you're really worried about it.
I'm watching that movie going, holy cow, how did this fly? I mean,
you get me.
And I'm only a third of the way through it. So, yeah. But I don't remember any outrage over that movie.
No.
Maybe it exists. I just didn't hear about it, but.
People, I don't know.
Have been offended by Seth MacFarlane for a long time now. So they're just used to it.
Yeah. They've swallowed it and moved on.
He's not the flavor of the week.
Yeah, something like that. Adam Sandler has a lot of power, and they wish to take it away. I'm like, man, Adam Sandler, he's told really tasteless jokes for a long time. This is not a new thing. It's not like he was a witty satirist, you know. Anyway, that was my soapbox. Let's go to emails. Remember, like us on Facebook. We have a Hollywood Outsider Facebook group for movie and TV fans, not just for fans of the show. It's anybody who likes to talk about movie and TV. Feel free to hop on over there and join up, and the link is in the show notes. Review us on iTunes. We really appreciate that. If you review us, we will read your reviews on the show. Really helps the show out. Got a couple tweets and emails. Brian.
This is from Page to Screen. They say, every time I hear Brian with a Y, or is it Brian with an I? It's with an I, just for the record. His voice reminds me of the guy who owns the football team in The Last Boy Scout. That's one of the best compliments I've had in a long time. I don't even care if it was not supposed to be a compliment.
I think it was. I actually think it was.
But that's awesome. Thank you. Great format for the Game of Thrones and Walking Dead episodes. In case you didn't know, Joseph played Pip in the show. Such a cool guy.
Thanks for that. And Brian did write those formats, so you get all the props.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Scott?
We got one from, I believe it's Scott Kilgarrell, he says, hey, hosts, I've been meaning to write a follow-up to the most important TV show's topic, but life getting in the way. I finally got a chance to write. While certainly not the overall most important TV show by any means, Hill Street Blues may be one of the most important genre-specific shows ever. The current crop of police procedurals owe their existence to the original cop opera. Prior to Blues, cops on TV were all portrayed as almost superheroes, dodging bullets, shooting guns that never ran out of ammo, and always getting the bad guy, and usually a girl or two along the way. Blues was the first show to try to portray police work realistically. The officers of Hill Street Station were all human beings who were tragically human. They were alcoholics, divorcees, drug addicts, and abusers, all trying to do an impossible job to the best of their flawed ability. And most surprisingly, they died.
They should have.
They were hurt and even killed on duty. I don't believe that had ever been portrayed on TV before. Shows like NYPD Blue and Law and Order are directly attributed to this pioneering show. Just want to make sure this amazing piece of TV history got a shout out. This episode and a couple that have aired since were awesome as always. Keep up the phenomenal work. Rock on, hose.
And when I said they should have, I meant those characters, not police officers. I respect the law.
Yeah.
I just meant that in that show. There's a lot of bad characters.
Not a good time to.
Sure isn't. Whew. I love the police. Even as I listened to my NWA.
What's that?
Even as I listen to my NWA.
You know, I've never seen an episode of that show, but I can play the song on the piano. the theme song.
Can you really?
Yeah.
I did not know that, Scott.
Yeah.
That is some wonderful trivia for us to take in.
And it took like five years of piano lessons as a kid. And
that was a big difference. One of the things huge difference.
Five lessons, 5 years.
Yeah.
One lesson every year.
Well, that's going to do it for this show. Remember, stay through the credits for outtakes. Go to thehollywoodoutsider.com or tweet us on @H_outsider. Facebook.com/thehollywoodoutsider. Our email is feedback@thehollywoodoutsider.com. Listen and subscribe for free on iTunes. Listen on your Stitcher radio app. Give us a thumbs up if you do, or through our RSS feed. That's going to do it for this episode of The Hollywood Outsider. I can't wait for summer. Thanks to Brian and Scotty for being here, guys. Justin could not make it. If I didn't say that earlier, I'm sorry. So are you guys ready? You think we did a good job handling everything?
I think so. I think we kind of covered all the bases. What do you think?
Yep.
I think so. I think we did pretty good.
Listeners will tell us. Trust me. They always do. Well, remember, guys, the next time you go to a theater, buy popcorn.
I hope I was prepared last week because I just left my notes sitting by the computer.
Well, you guys want to do this?
No, I'm sure. Out.
Yeah.
You know, but, oh, hey, are you still there? Oh, yeah, I had my mic on mute.
Yeah.
Not edit that stuff out. It just drives me crazy.
So you're starting to finally appreciate me just a little bit. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I'll listen to, companies, because I've listened to a lot of sports stuff, and I'll listen to what I think is a decent-sized company and stuff, and some of the production stuff they release is nowhere near the quality that I say we, but Aaron.
Yeah, that's we. I mean, it's everybody. I mean, everybody's
well,
got
I mean,
my...
Yeah, but I mean, as far as the, hey, you know, watch the background noise. Watch this, you're clicking. Mm-hmm. You know, you tighten things up. Even if you do, we do just keep recording. You do tighten things up, edit my pauses, that kind of stuff. And
it's actually more your than your pauses. I actually don't mind the pauses that much. They kind of accentuate your character.
All right, so it's the bumbling idiot stuff that you don't like.
Yeah.
I was going to say.
Yeah. Scott, right. Get off Facebook.
I'm not on Facebook.
I just got pinged. Scott Clark sent a message on Facebook. The lies!
I'm not on Facebook right now.
I just got... Scott Clark just commented. Literally. And I'm using literally correctly. Not figuratively. Literally.
Hey, I had to, you know, kill some time while you were...
Okay,
gone.
All right, let's go. Scott, you ready?
Now you want to speed things up. When are we doing that, by the way? I didn't update my format, so.
When are we doing what?
The review.
It's at the end. I'll just tell you when we get there.
Well, I know. I just want to know where to type my synopsis.
We're all done with the summer stuff. So that way, anybody that doesn't care, they just came for the summer stuff, they hear all that before they hear us ramble. So it's.
Don't you want to do that first?
Nope.
Okay.
I got it all worked out. Don't you worry about it.
Hey, it's your show, man.
Oh, shots fired.
Oh, you prick. You fucking prick. Everybody props, thinks Scott's so props, goddamn nice.
Props to Scott for working that in really quick tonight.